too expensive.
worth checking out anyway, I think, just because of its, as you said, the uniqueness of it all, and it's definitely not your average shooting game. So another one
made by Argonaut as well. Star Fox,
depending on which side of the pond you sit on. Next up is Sega Marine Fishing, sequel to Sega Bass Fishing. And 112th is Deadly Skies. 111th is Alien Front Online, which is another great game that was only released, I believe, in America. Did it get a Japanese release, Mike, or was it just America?
It's America.
Quite notable because it did get released in a big box with a microphone as well, one of the few games to use the microphone. And if you play the game online, as the title suggests, you can obviously use the microphone to send really tinny voice discussions to the people that you're playing with. I don't think it's quite in real time, as in you say it and then it comes out on everyone's screen a few seconds later. But for the time, it was pretty revolutionary. I believe this is something like, it's either 6 versus 6 or 8 versus 8. I can't remember which exactly, but it must be, I'm pretty sure this is the most concurrent players online in a Dreamcast online game. So pretty impressive from that regard. But yeah, shame we didn't get a UK release of this one, because it is really good fun. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if there's any offline game to this.
I think there is, yeah, you can play against like bots and things. Okay. Yeah.
But obviously comes to life online, and again, still perfectly playable. It's one of the most popular, whenever there's an Alien Front online evening planned in the Dreamcast online community, it's almost always full rooms. So yeah, definitely one to check out. Speed Devil's in at 110, another good arcade racer. I know this is one of your favorites, Tom, I believe, as well.
Yeah, it's actually the first Dreamcast game I ever bought for myself. So yeah, I just like the way that it's a really good solid racing game, but the way that the campaign or the career mode is set out is such that it's got a lot of replay value to it. So you can bet on races, bet on the outcome of races, that kind of thing. It's all around placing wagers on the outcomes of races, not quite in the same way as MSR is with like the Jokers and that kind of thing, but kind of similar way. There's a very heavy leaning towards a sort of Las Vegas gambling style aesthetic within the single player campaign, and it's just a really good, fun, solid racing game with lots of environmental hazards to avoid.
Yeah, lots of variety in this one for sure. Another game that was re-released with an online component, sadly not yet back online, but hopefully will be soon. Nomad Soul comes in at 109, and 108 is another launch game that I think, well, clearly doesn't go under the radar too much if it's in at 108, but Trick Style, which is another good game, good solid game, nothing spectacular, but, you know, looks really good, nice big polygons, nice looking game, good gameplay, gets old fairly quickly, but definitely one worth playing, I would say. World Party comes in at 107. Again, basically Worms Armageddon, but with online play and a few other bits and pieces. Back online, played regularly every week. So if Worms is your bag, definitely worth checking that one out. Another Capcom versus here at 106, which is Capcom versus SNK this time. There is a Capcom versus SNK 2 and a Capcom versus Marvel 2 as well. So we'll probably cover those in the next part of the episode, because both of those feature a bit higher up, unless someone's gagging to say something now. Nope. Ready to Rumble in at 105, which we discussed earlier on, but definitely a good showpiece for the console. 104 is Spirit of Speed, 1937. Full disclosure, this was in I voted this as my third favorite game, but it did also receive votes from two other people. So I would like...
Jimmy Harvey and Jim Harvey Esquire, wasn't it?
We're not going to talk about Spirit of Speed much on here. I think I said my piece on this game, and you'll be able to read more about it soon in the book as well. But
is it worth also mentioning the amazing article that Bad Game Hall of Fame Did.
For sure. So yeah.
God, God, that's a lot of work, isn't it? It's the, you said it yourself, it's probably the most in-depth study of Spirit of Speed 1937 anywhere on the internet. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. I thought it would take a lot to top the research and time that I put into that game, but the work that the guys have done over there, we'll put a link to it in the show description so you can go and have a look. But yeah, they've basically left no stone unturned in giving the game a fair shot at understanding its
Redemption.
redeeming qualities as well as its major flaws, which I think are pretty well documented by now. But
And you contributed to that as well, didn't you? You had a little hand in that article.
I did. They used quite a lot of the quotes from the interview that I did with the director John Jones Steele of Broadsword Interactive, and yeah, it kind of unearthed some of the open questions that were still there in the game as to why things happened the way they did. So yeah, it was really, really nice to be able to contribute to that in a little way as well. Apparently, I'm a Spirit of Speed 1937 expert these days. So yeah,
Someone needs to
exactly. Just a couple more to go then, three more to go before we get into the 100, which we're going to obviously do in the next show. 103 is Rush Rush Rally, another great indie game. Another bloody hard indie game as well, I would add. Yeah, if you like Micro Machines style top-down racers, yeah, definitely check this one out. This has also got a wave release now, I believe.
Reloaded into it, Rush Rush Rally Reloaded.
It is. You will need to learn tracks though if you want to do anything good in this game, because one mistake on any of these tracks and it's restart time. But yeah, really good. A lot of depth to it. Loads of unlockables as far as I can remember and stuff on it. So yeah, definitely worth checking out. 102 is Unreal Tournament. The forgotten of the online shooters, really. I think Quake 3 Arena gets all the applause for bringing online shooting to Dreamcast Online, but Unreal Tournament was also a very popular PC game that got ported over.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the PAL version of Unreal Tournament doesn't have online play, does it?
Oh, does it not?
It doesn't,
no.
man.
Very odd.
That is a very odd
Just like,
decision.
Is it Outrigger? That's online in the US, isn't it? But not in PAL.
Yeah, and Daytona as well.
Daytona, yeah.
Yeah, I think I know that this is another game that's kind of hoping to be back online at some point. But you can play it offline, as Tom said, with bots and what have you.
I think online games, I might be wrong, but I think online might actually beat the 616 figure for Mania Fun Online. I have a funny feeling it can hold more than that if it does get
Uh, I,
online.
d I don't know. Maybe if it does come online, it will. Worth keeping an eye out for that, for sure. I know you can, in the single player, you can like put ridiculous amounts of bots on the screen to the point where it like literally slows down to a complete standstill.
Yeah, half the maps aren't playable, unfortunately, like facing walls and stuff.
Yeah.
The classics just aren't playable.
But we'll see if it ever comes back online. And the last game that we're going to talk about, and I say we because I'm actually referring to Mike here because it's another oddity. But the last game then, so 101. So to round out the first batch of games we're going to talk about is Blue Submarine Number 6, which I believe is an anime, a game of an anime that came out in Japan only. And this is where you take over, Mike, and give us the quick rundown of what this game's all about.
Yeah, so it's based on a very, very popular post-apocalyptic submarine warfare anime series. I think a lot of people dismiss the game because they think it's going to be a visual novel. It does have a few elements of that, but it's actually an underwater adventure, basically, with some really amazing cel-shaded animation. It's pretty much playable in English, the action parts, because there's English commands, if I remember rightly. It's really fun game. I know Lewis again is I think Lewis is a fan of this title, but it's got a translation for the cutscenes as well available, so you can definitely download that. It's a really decent game. It's quite expensive to buy a sort of a proper copy of, but luckily because the fan translation's around, it's obviously completely free to download that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Looks really good as well.
Yeah,
From
I'm going to check this one out. Yeah, I've never played this one, so I'll
it's a bit like Blue Steel Variable Space Griffin, in terms of the fact that it's one of those games where everyone thinks it's going to be just a visual novel because of the cover and because it's quite, obscure, but it is completely playable, and it plays really well.
Nice. Well, that rounds up the first 100 games, or the last 100 games, depending how you look at it. So yeah, we'll pick this back up in the next episode, where we will go through the top 100 games, as voted by you, our dear listeners and readers. And things do start to get a bit juicy now. We start to get into the real meat on the Dreamcast bone, if you like, with some very well-known titles and some very good lesser-known titles. I don't think there's many bad games, if any bad games, in the top 100. So clearly everyone here has impeccable taste. No
Yeah, I'm
spoilers.
just looking at the top 30 now, and if you had just those 30 games, you'd be a very happy Dreamcast gamer.
Yeah, I think if you when you get to the top 30, if they were ever to release a Dreamcast Mini, you could do a lot worse than just picking the top 30 out off of our top 200 list and sticking those on the console, and you'd have a pretty good time for sure. No spoilers from us though on the top 100. That's coming in the next show. Before we move on from games 200 to 101. Any particular highlights for you guys from that list? Anything that was maybe higher than you thought, lower than you thought, or just glad to see it in there? What's been the standout things for you?
I think I would have to go with Wacky Races. It's probably for me the best one in that list so far. Obviously, that's just my opinion. One thing I just want to ask about, James. I think we may have skipped over a game in our haste.
Did we?
And that game is Fade to Black. That's at number,
Ah,
let me
we
see, where
did.
is it?
159, we did. Good spot.
159, yeah, and which is interesting because Fade to Black was re-released. Well, I say re-released. It was released for the first time by Josh Prod a couple of years ago now, and yeah, it's a sequel to Flashback, and it's quite surprising to see it on this list, to be honest. It's a solid port of I think it's the PC version it's based on. And I did an article on the blog very recently about the Flashback games on the Dreamcast, and this kind of came out of nowhere really. And I think it was off the back of the release of the original Flashback, which was obviously sanctioned by Delphine Software, and then the sequel was also the creator of Flashback also had some involvement with the porting of Fade to Black to Dreamcast. So I just thought it was really interesting that it was in there, and I don't know how we missed it, but it was in there at number 159, in between Giant Gram and Ready to Rumble 2.
We were rambling about Ready to Rumble, I think, too much.
I think that's what it was,
Yeah. Good spot though, Tom. Good spot. Mike, what about you? What's been your standout game in here?
I think a little bit sort of touching on what Tom's just said, because I think the amount of indie games that have made it to top 200 is really impressive. So obviously 6 years ago I did a poll, and I was surprised by how few of the indie games got any votes at all. I think there was less than 10 in total. It looks as though this time we've had a lot more, which is fantastic. We talk about the fact Dreamcast is the current gen console at the moment, and it's wave of basically made this year sort of a year of the Dreamcast. So to have so many of them in the top 200 is a really, really good sign, and I think it shows how active and how healthy Dreamcast scene currently is.
For sure. My pick then, I'm going to take Revolt. I think we discussed it at length earlier anyway, so I'm not going to repeat any of that. But 155 on the list is Revolt. Definitely a game worth playing for racing games and for people who aren't typically into racing games. It does play quite differently. It's one of those nice games, I think, where the learning curve on it and the difficulty curve is actually quite gradual. So things do get harder, but not in the sense of, oh my God, it's gone from really easy to really difficult in the space of 5 minutes. So definitely one to check out.
One thing about Revolt that always makes me sort of wonder is in the neighborhood levels where you're racing around the housing estate, I'm pretty sure every now and then a basketball appears, just like rolls across the road. But there's no kids. There's no kids playing. Who's rolled the ball?
Post-apocalyptic
Spooky.
landscape.
Yeah,
Spooky.
it's one of
Spooky,
life's
innit?
one of life's long mysteries. And why does the ball keep running rolling across every single lap? It's a big question. Chaps, thank you for joining me today. as we've said before, we will be back for the part two of this episode, where we're going to cover the top 100, which is where things start to get exciting. Thanks for coming on the journey with us. Mike, where can we find you online these days, apart from in your two or three houses that you've got on the go at the moment?
Of course, you know, you've got to keep appearances and have that sort of portfolio of property. So you can find me on at @space_turnip. On Twitter, also at DreamcastPix. And for those who keep on asking me, the A to Z guide, sanctioned by Dreamcast Junkyard, which I've been working on for a while, should be out in around a month's time.
I was just about to say, how's the Dreamcast guide coming out? So there you go. You heard it from Mike there. Have you decided how you're going to be, people are going to be able to order that yet, Mike, or shall I?
I haven't yet, no. So obviously a few things have gone on, high speed and stuff, so I sort of put it on a little bit of a back burner, but yeah, eventually it'll be some kind of, probably through Etsy, I imagine.
Good stuff. Well, everyone start getting ready to order that, because I suspect it's going to be in high demand when it does finally drop. Tom, where can we find you?
You can't really find me on...
I was going to say.
So if you want me, just... put your lips together and blow, I suppose. I don't know.
Wow, that's a weird one.
Yeah, whistle. What do you think?
Why,
you
don't
find
you
out
just, why don't you just give it the Dreamcast Junkyard social media?
It's at the DC Junkyard on Twitter. You can find us on the wider internet at thedreamcastjunkyard.co.uk, and you can find me there. Leave me a comment. I will always read them and respond. Oh, we also got the Discord as well. You can find us on the Discord channel.
Indeed. And you can find me on Twitter at Agile Harvey. You can tweet me and talk about how much you miss Tom hosting instead of me.
I don't think anyone's going to say that.
Maybe we'll reverse it around for the top 100. But gents, it's been an absolute pleasure taking a trip down Dreamcast nostalgic lane again, as always. And we will see you in part two of the Dreamcast Junkyard top 200 Dreamcast games. Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.